Good morning. Grace and peace to you. I think you were filled with the Spirit on that last song as we were studying in our Bible class this morning. God bless you. It's good to see you, and it's great to hear you sing to me of your faith. Looking forward to that crown, right? Amen. Amen. Going to talk about Timothy this morning, as you can see from your ticket. It's difficult to find employees these days. I think all you got to do is watch the news a little bit, and you'll find out that everywhere the people, businesses, companies are looking for people to hire, the people that want to work. You see the signs just about everywhere you go. We're hiring now. Get online and make your application and so forth. But you know, it's even more difficult these days to find employees that will work. And it's even more difficult to find employees that will do a good job. They even enjoy their work and will be devoted to their work. And will maybe even do a little bit extra because they really want to help out. You know, we can find this situation in the church as well. A person will say they will accept some responsibility or task. And what I'm going to say here applies to whether we're talking about a company or in the church. But they will say, oh, I forgot. Or they're late all the time, or they only do part of the work, or they do a poor job, or they're very unreliable, very erratic, and there's other things we could say. As some people like to say, well, you know, in the church anyway, this is volunteer work. But don't people volunteer because they want to do something? Yes or no? Maybe that's a problem in the church because we really don't want to do God's will. I don't know. It's an individual choice, isn't it? But if you volunteer and you want to do something, there ought to be real desire and passion, and you know, you want to do a really good job. You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was thinking about this, I always think about examples, and going back to the childhood, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, we had did not have air conditioning. Not many people did way back in the Middle Ages. And on the back door, which came from the kitchen onto the back little back porch we had a screen door in the summer. Now, this screen door wasn't much more than a frame with screen on it. I don't know how many of you had one of those. And there was a spring on that door about that long. Okay? Now, I'm getting there. Well, you know, of course, we're talking about in the summer, when you had to do a chore in the house, whatever that was, fix your bed, put your toys away, you know, whatever, something mom or dad wants you to do, you know, okay, I'll go do it, you know, and you're not too thrilled about that. But when they said, okay, you can go out and play, man, we hit that screen door and that thing flew open and then we're outside. We're in the yard before it slams back. That big old spring slams it back. You know, we're ready to play. We want to do that, you see. So we should be excited about wanting to do the work of God. And I think what we're talking about with Timothy here, Timothy really wanted to do God's work. He's an example for all of us. I don't know if you ever thought about Timothy. You know, a letter was written to Timothy, and you must think, well, you know, he had it made. Paul knew him, and you know, everything was good with Timothy. Timothy had his problems. He had obstacles to not only to overcome, but to live with. And so we're gonna learn, all of us, we're all gonna learn from Timothy this morning. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're gonna start out with Timothy's job evaluation. Okay? That's what this is. Philippians 2:19. Paul's writing, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. Wow. Give me some people like Timothy. Look at this praise for him. He says, no one else. No one else is like him. You know, I thought about that. You know, there was Titus. There was Tychicus. There was Epaphroditus. There was Silas. There was Barnabas. What is Paul saying here? He's not saying that these brothers weren't good. They didn't do the will of God. They weren't great helpers or whatever task they had in their preaching and teaching. But he says here, no one else of kindred spirit like Timothy. That's an amazing accolade for this young man. No one else was like him. He was a kindred spirit. He was like-minded. He thought like me. He had a heart like me. And if you, of course, read through the New Testament and all of Paul's letters, you see the heart that Paul had for the gospel. He put everything else aside to spread that word of God. He says, Timothy is one who will be genuinely concerned or sincerely concerned about your situation. It's not just a job to him. He will really love you. Consider what is going on in your life, in your congregation, in your family. And he will really work hard because he cares about you. You know, that's a trap we can all fall into. Oh, this is just something I need to do for the Lord, which is good. But if it involves another person, another brother or sister in Christ, we need to learn to truly love them and be concerned about them. You know, that's what the love of God is, isn't it? It's not just an act, but it's about a person. And then he says, they seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. I don't know what to read into that. I know all these other brothers were good brothers. Whether he's just talking about here and there, some of them didn't do right, I am not sure. Okay? So let's not read too much into that, but I think he's just saying Timothy was as focused about the gospel as I am. He didn't let anything detract him from doing the will of God. He didn't let the world draw him away for any reason. That's saying something, because the world will beat on us time and time again, won't it? In many different ways, and we're going to see some of those in this lesson. But Timothy stayed focused. And then he talks about his proven worth. He has proven himself. He's saying, I'm not just blowing smoke here. He has proven himself again and again and again that this is a kind of a brother he is, a godly man, a hard worker in Christ. He's proven himself. All right, let's go to Acts 16. We're going to kind of look at the situation in which Timothy worked for the Lord. Here we're going to see how he was called by Paul, well, God calling him through Paul. And we're going to see some of the decisions that he made, and they were not easy to make. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul, this is on Paul's second missionary journey, as we call it. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. So we see here from early on that he was a dedicated and devoted young man. He was well spoken of by the brethren there in that area. That he was he was a faithful young man. And this was something, no doubt, that attracted Paul to him. You know, hear somebody say, oh, this is to Timothy, he's a good guy. Timothy is a hard worker. Timothy is faithful. He's always there. He's always going to help out. You know, that's going to click on Paul, because Paul's looking for helpers. Paul's spreading the gospel. He's going on his journey. He says, I need people like that. So he calls Timothy, obviously. And the first point we want to make is that Timothy was willing to go with him. You know, here's an apostle or a preacher that shows up on a journey spreading the gospel, and Paul says to him, you know, at some point, I want you to go with me. So Timothy was willing to leave his home. That's not easy. It's not easy to leave home. Whether you're talking about, you know, going on that journey, you know, who knows what was going to happen or where they were going to go. Maybe Paul says, well, I got this in mind or that in mind. But as we know later on, as you read through the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit had some other ideas. So he didn't even know really what was going to happen or where he was going to go. But he was willing to go, willing to leave home. And of course, that would have been, Paul probably didn't even say, well, we'll be back in a year or 2 years or whatever. I don't know. Probably Paul didn't even know. But I know it's not easy to leave home on any kind of a journey, even for a short period of time, a couple of weeks. Some of you, and myself included, have done that for the Lord, and it's not easy. But Timothy was willing to do this. And as we read throughout the New Testament, even as we just read in Philippians, Paul was going to send Timothy to the church at Philippi. He went to Ephesus. He spent time in Ephesus and Corinth and Thessalonica. Paul sent him all over the place. And it seems like he was very willing to do that. The second thought from this reading is the fact that Paul circumcised him. Now, he didn't do that to keep the laws, but it says there because of the Jews there knew that his father was a Greek. But it was so he would be accepted by in Jewish homes and in particular in Jewish synagogues, and there would not be a big flap that a Gentile was brought into the Jewish synagogue. So that's why he did that. But at Timothy's age, and I don't know how old he was at this point, might have been late teens, maybe 20, in the 20s, something like that. But that would have been very painful. Very painful. But Timothy was willing to let Paul do that so that he could go with him. He's quite a young man here early on. He's willing to go with Paul, have this happen to him. So, you know, a question comes to me and to you, what are we willing to do or to sacrifice for Jesus? You know, here's an example. Sometimes we are not even willing to get out of our sofa or easy chair to do anything for the Lord, you know? We're just so comfortable. Are we willing to pray? You know, we hear a lot of exhortations from this pulpit and in the announcements to pray for so-and-so. Do we really do it? Do we take some time, even 5 minutes, to pray for somebody in need? Or are we just so wrapped up in our own lives? Like we were talking in our Bible class this morning, we just have it on autopilot. Well, this is what I do in the morning, this is what I do in the afternoon, this is what I do in the evening, and that's my life. And we never even stop to think about anybody else. Do we make a visit? Do we make a phone call? Do we even know who's not here and hasn't been here for a while? Do they even bother us? Giving an extra $20 for some particular cause, will we do that? We could go on and on. But Timothy's he's an example for us and a challenge for us of what he was willing to do at this point. We shouldn't think that this was real easy for him to do just because he did it. All right, let's go to Hebrews 13. Timothy experienced imprisonment for his faith. Hebrews 13 and 23. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of... No, I'm sorry, 23, not 22. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. Now, we know very, very little about Timothy's imprisonment. Perhaps this was with Paul. We don't know. Again, there's a debate about who wrote the letter here of Hebrews. But there are no other references to his imprisonment. We can only speculate about it. But here's what we should accept and understand. That he did accept imprisonment for his faith. He did not recant when the authorities came, which many of the Christians did in those days. He didn't say, oh, that's okay, I really don't believe in this Jesus guy. I'll go ahead and worship the gods of Rome or whatever. He didn't do that. He was willing to be imprisoned for his faith. So there is a challenge to us from Timothy. Are we even willing to accept a little bit of ridicule for our faith? Are we even willing to let somebody else know that I believe in Jesus Christ and in this book? Do we even say anything? Do we put ourselves out there, as we use that expression, at all? This is a challenge for us. It was a war back then because they faced opposition from Jews and from the Romans about their faith. And things are getting tighter and tighter here in this country as well. So we need to be ready. We need to think about Timothy. Okay, 1 Timothy 5. Timothy had to deal with physical ailments. Anybody here dealing with physical ailments? Growing old ailments? Replacement ailments? Surgery ailments? Ailments that we don't even know what they are, as Matt says here. The doctor doesn't even know what it is. 1 Timothy 5:23. Sometimes we only seem to read or remember part of this verse. We were talking about that in our Bible class this morning, how important it is to read the text, all of the text, and reflect on it. 1 Timothy 5:23. No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach. You see, that's where we stop. But then what does it say? And your frequent ailments. We're not told what those are. Did he have digestive troubles? Back pain, nausea, dizziness, headaches, migraines, whatever, on and on? I don't know. But Paul says he had frequent ailments. Did Timothy let those derail him from doing the work of God? No, he did not. How easy it is for us to say, oh, I got this and I got that. This is a challenge for us. Whatever it was, he had to put up with it, and he did put up with it. And he kept working for the Lord. Now, you know, this can be tricky for us because sometimes things really do sideline us, okay? And we can't get around or we can't think or it's just too painful. But then sometimes, you know, over here we get the slightest little sniffle and we stay home. So we have to be careful. And everybody has to make that decision. But let's not let some of these things overwhelm us when they shouldn't. Remember what the task is and the work is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he overcame in order to do his Father's will. Okay. Where are we next? 1 Timothy 4. Like everyone else, Timothy still had to work at his task and apply himself, and he was being taught by Paul. He wasn't done growing. He wasn't to the point where he didn't need any instruction, even though we saw that glowing report about the man who worked hard. He still needed to grow. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Paul is continuing to instruct and encourage Timothy. Timothy hadn't arrived, even though, like I said, we saw the great report about him. So here we see words about his personal conduct to be an example. Even in your youth, he was to be an example to even those who were older in the faith. Be an example. Take it to heart. Paul's being totally serious about his teaching ministry. Till I come, give attention to the reading of Scripture and to exhorting and to teaching. That's what you should do. Now, Timothy probably knew that, but Paul's just encouraging him, you know. Timothy was not beyond slipping back. He wasn't. He still needed encouraged. Then there's this level of devotion. I like verse 15. To take pains. I think New King James says meditate on these things. Be absorbed in them or give yourself entirely to them. Wow. Wow, this is your work. This is where you should really be focused. It's not a part-time thing, Timothy. Absorb yourself in your work, in the Word of God, in doing the will of God. And then 16, as we've said from time to time, here's this self-examination that we all need every once in a while. This is serious. He says, pay close attention to yourself. How many of us ever step back at any point in a week or in a month and just take a look at what have I been doing? Where am I going? Am I pleasing to God? As we were studying this morning in Bible class, what am I doing with my time? Pay close attention. Examine yourself. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. What are you teaching? Are you teaching the truth? Are you teaching all the truth? Etc., etc. Persevere in these things. Move forward. Keep fighting in all these things, Timothy. Because if you do this, you ensure salvation for yourself and for those who hear you. Now, the point is not that Timothy wasn't saved, but he could get sidetracked and off the rails. This will ensure you persevere in the faith, in these things, in the Word of God, so that you will continue to be saved and be saved, and all those who hear you. You're teaching the right thing. You're teaching the truth of God. So Timothy needed that instruction, even though he was doing well, doing great. And our last thought, if you notice, we kind of skipped over verse 14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. And turn over to 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Companion verses. 2 Timothy 1, 6. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. We are not told what Timothy's spiritual gift was, whether it was prophecy or some kind of miracles, we just don't know. But for some reason, Timothy was timid or afraid to use his gift. And that was the second admonition here in 2 Timothy for him to use the gift that God had given him through the laying on of the presbytery and even of Paul's own hands. For some reason, Timothy was afraid. He had a fear of something. Maybe he was naturally timid and shy. I don't know. Some people have that personality. They're just very self-effacing, and they don't want to be out there and don't want to attract attention. And maybe that was it. Maybe he wasn't wanting to, if you will, show off his gift, as some people did, were trying to do that in Corinth. People would think, oh, I'm performing miracles or whatever, and I don't want them to think I think they're better than they are, type thing. Maybe. Maybe he was afraid to attract attention from the authorities. Oh, we got a guy down here performing miracles, like, you know, with Jesus, and we better go down and check him out. We don't know. But for some reason, he wasn't using the gift that he was given, and he was supposed to be using it. And Paul tells him twice here, once in each letter, stir up that gift. Put that gift into action. And whatever it was that was holding him back, Paul was basically telling him, get over it. Put it behind you and put that gift to work. So the question then is for us. We all have gifts, right? We all been given talents and skills. Are we using them? Are you using yours for Christ? And the question would then be, if not, what is keeping you from using your gift? I don't know what that might be. Are you afraid? Fear, the old fear of failure thing? Whatever. Could be any number of things that might be causing you. Maybe you're just lazy. Maybe you just don't want to get involved. Maybe you're just too selfish. I don't know. But if you got gifts and you're not using them, you really need to look at yourself and pray and ask God, help me to use the gifts and the talents you've given me. We're going to close there in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. I think we've seen Timothy is a real challenge for us. He didn't have an easy road. He made some decisions in the faith that were difficult, and he had to continually deal with some things and overcome some situations in his life in order to serve the Lord. But as we go back to that Philippians 2 reading, Paul commended him above all of his other co-workers and said, this man is a good man. Even though he's got these struggles and these problems, he's persevering through them, and there's no one like him that I want to be with me to serve in the gospel. 1 Timothy 6:11. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy, the great example for us all. I just challenge you this morning, like Paul challenged Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shady Side Church of Christ, please go to our website at cofcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Shady Side Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.